Well, praise the Lord, we come to the last session, and afternoon session is always not easy after lunch. Huh? So we all have to exercise our spirit,
Amen.
Exercise our whole being, that the Lord can release what is remaining on his heart to us concerning this matter of the living of the one new man.
Amen.
I believe the Lord has spoken to us concerning this precious matter, the revelation, the vision of this one new man, and now the actual living out of this one new man.
Amen.
The key thing is that we need to learn how to take Christ as our person. It seems so impossible, I think, on the one hand, but surely this is the Lord's word. This is not our idea. This is the Lord's word, and it will be fulfilled.
Amen.
And surely, as I mentioned, that the Lord still kept us here, continuing in his recovery. Surely, he wants us to bring this recovery, his economy, all the way to the finish line. our brothers have gone, but we are still here, and the revelation is still with us, and what we are speaking these days is just a continuation of what our brothers had started. And why are we still here? Because we are the Lord has to use us to work out, has to live out the reality of this one new man. The word cannot be clearer. I think the vision is very clear before us. The whole Bible should have been opened up to us from Genesis to Revelation, what God wants. He does not just want redeemed sinners. He does not just want a lot of sinners going to heaven, crowding up the heavens. God wants one new man. A new man that he originally intended, yet who failed him. But he came himself to be that fulfillment, to become a pattern, to become a model that he can reproduce himself. He can gain a reproduction of himself to gain a corporate new man. So this is our goal. This is what is deep in the Lord's heart. This will what will consummate this age and to bring our Lord back. So we need to continue to pray and consider this matter and take the Lord's grace to practice, to live in this reality. Well, we come to this final message concerning the putting off of the old man and the putting on of the new man. As you saw from Ephesians 4, verse 20, it begins, Paul says, "But you have not so learned Christ." But this word implies that it is in contrast. Contrast to what? If you read the previous verses from 17 to 18, he contrasted to another kind of living. There's a living, he says, walking as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, in verse 17. In verse 18, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance which is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to walk all uncleanness in greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. So there is a contrast of living. One living was that of walking in the vanity of the mind, darkened in understanding, alienated from God's life, ignorant, and being hardened in their heart, even to the degree of past feeling. That means becoming numb, ignoring the feeling of their conscience, keep just doing according, walking, taking their own self as the person, ignoring the Christ in them. So, but we have not so learned Christ. So, here are these two living. One is totally negative, totally dark. And here is another living, which is not in contrast to vanity. Christ's living is altogether in reality. Christ's living is bright. Christ's living is endearing, is sweet, is fragrant. There is this living presented by Christ while he lived on the earth. His humanity is so aromatic. He expressed God, his attributes, in his human virtues. He was a man walking, living on this earth as just a common man, but he lived an excellent life. He exhibited, he expressed this glorious, excellent attributes of God. This is a God-man. This is the first God-man living on the earth as a fulfillment of the man created in Genesis. But beside him, all the other men living on the earth, living in the vanity of their mind, living in darkness, that's where we all came from. We were all part of that kind of a community. And now one day we got saved. Now we receive this first God-man into us. Now he came into us. He did not just only forgive us, cleanse us, justify us. He actually came to live inside of us. He is the person. He is the model. He is the pattern who now lives within us. And he desires to reproduce his life in us and with us. So we need, as we grow up into him, we are also learning him. Learning him as he lived his life on the earth, a life of reality. So we came out of that situation, of that negative background, and now we have this new person living within us. So as we are learning Christ, there's one result, one issue is that Paul tells us, since we are learning Christ, in contrast with that old kind of living, we need to have a result. That is, we should put off that old man, and we should put on the new man. The old man is described by all those things mentioned in the earlier verses, 17 to 19. And the new man is represented by the living of Christ in reality that we need to put on. So we come to actually a very practical message in our living of the one new man. There needs to be a constant putting off and a putting on. We are not exactly like the Lord Jesus. He was born. He was God himself coming to be a man. But we have our source in the fallen man. We were born in Adam. We're born with that fallen nature within us. Now we are saved. We are regenerated. We have another life. We have another person living within us. But positionally, this is true. But experientially, constantly, we have still the old man bothering us, right? Haunting at us, trying to draw us back. So now as we are learning Christ, we are endeavoring to grow up into him in all things. The old things are still trying to pull us back. If any moment that we are not exercising in our spirit, any moment that we fall from the Lord's mercy, from his from his hand, right away we fall back to our old man, to our old living. So Paul, he admonished us, we need to put off the old man and put on the new man. This is not just a once-for-all experience. This has to be a continuous experience. Who is going to put off the old man? Who is going to put on the new man? You, me. I have to do it. You have to do it. No one can do it for you. The Lord cannot do it for you. You have to put it off. You have to put it on. He created the new man, but the new man, you have to put it on. Now, let's see, okay, what all this means. The first point says, our putting off of the old man and our putting on of the new man is a manifestation of our having learned Christ. In other words, as we are learning Christ, as we are taking Christ as our pattern, learning him as the reality is in Jesus, there should be an issue. The issue is that we put off the old man. We leave that old living behind. And we put on the new man, a new living, a new communal life. A says to put off the old man is to put off the old way of life, the former way of living, our old community life. The old man here is not just referring to our sinful past personally. It also refers to a sinful, negative, communal life, the old manner of life. Remember on the day of Pentecost when Peter was preaching the gospel, he told at the end of his gospel message, he told the people, save yourself from this evil generation. What Peter asked him to do was not only repent of their sins themselves, but also to save them, save yourself from that evil generation, that crooked generation. You have been living in the midst of a certain community. You have an old manner of life. It's not just a matter of, oh, you don't believe in God. You are, you have lied, you have stolen, you have done some bad things. It's not just that, but your whole manner of life, your old association. You have associated, you have an old manner of life. So Paul, when Peter was preaching the gospel, these people need to be saved, not only to be saved from their sins, so that they can receive a new life, Jesus Christ to be their Savior, but they need to be saved from that whole generation, from all their friends, from all their buddies, from all the old association. So every one of us, human beings, we are community beings. Not one of us, no human being, just live off himself by himself somewhere in the mountain, living a very exclusive, just a lonely life. Everyone desires with somebody. So as we are growing up, we have a certain kind of a community life that we like to, hang around with certain number of people. Some have drinking buddies, some have dancing buddies, some have all kinds of whatever. As you grow up, you have this sports buddies, you have all these things, right? you are a sinner, but you have a certain belonging, a certain association. So that we need to put, the old man refers to all that, the whole thing. And B says, to put on the new man means to have the church life, which is the new life of the new mankind created by Christ in himself. Corporately, we need to put on the church life as a new humanity. Isn't this wonderful? That after we are saved, not only we receive Jesus Christ into us as our Savior, now we have eternal life, we will not go to hell, but also we have been brought into the church life. Now in the church life, we have many saints who are also children of God, who are believers in Christ. We are fellow members with one another. Here we suddenly find ourselves in a new community. There is a new humanity. We are a new species. We are not just mere sinners forgiven by God, saved by grace. We are men who have been born of God, regenerated by God. We are God's children. We are sons of God. So, strictly speaking, we are a new species. We are a new kind. It's called the God-mankind. We are not just good people, religious people, ethical people. Just because, you know, when people tell, oh, you are such a good man, you are such a nice person. Don't appreciate that much. That should not be good enough. I'm not just good. I'm a God man. There's a new race that is now on this earth. It's a God man race. We are indeed a peculiar people, as the Bible says. We are a peculiar treasure. When God chose the children of Israel, they were a special people, right? On the whole earth. They were not a big number, but they, in God's eyes, they are special. They are a peculiar treasure to Him. And today in the New Testament, as His church, as the saved and regenerated ones, we are a treasure to God. And we have God's life and God's person within us. We are a new race. We are a new humanity. You know, especially we thank the Lord for the church life here in the Lord's recovery. You know, it's a blessing to be in the Lord's recovery. Aren't you? Aren't you thankful that you are in the Lord's recovery?
Amen.
We are not in today's religion. Just going to church once a week, go to attend the Sunday service. We are in the Lord's recovery. And weekends like this, you know, you have Victoria Day or whatever, Patriots Day, whatever you call this. Anyway, it's a holiday. And, you know, in holiday times, what do? People go to barbecue. People go to play. People go to do all kinds of fun things. But in the recovery, in the church life, in the holidays is a time we gather together,
amen,
right? To listen to the word, to sing and praise and rejoice, to blend together.
Amen.
You know, in the eyes of our friends, old friends and relatives, they don't understand. This is holiday. This is time for you to relax and you know, to have your fun. Go and have a barbecue, go and have to do something fun, entertain yourself. And then you go to meeting, 4 meetings. Next weekend, again, 6 more meetings we're going to have in Kansas City. You know, I know every time we're growing up in this kind of realm, we have been used to this. And yet, in the eyes of a lot of outsiders, they just scratch their head. Who are these people? They don't celebrate holidays. There's no Thanksgiving, no Christmas, no Easter. All these holidays, New Year, and holiday is the time to come together, not celebrate in that kind of our way. They were singing, praising the Lord, enjoying the Word, sitting hours and hours and hours to listen to the Word, to the messages. Ah, aren't you tired already in 5 days of work? You know, 40 hours, 60 hours, you should relax on the weekend, you should relax on the holidays, and yet you use all these holidays to travel. Oh, you go all to Taiwan, you go to Ethiopia, you go to Germany, you go to spending all this money, spending all this time, going everywhere, meeting people who you have never met, you don't never know. And you are there just praising, doing all these things. They don't know, what are you, you're wasting your time. They don't know. They don't realize we are a new humanity. We are a new race. We are a God-man race. Sorry, friend. You are just man. You don't understand what this new race is about. We are a God-man race. We are a new humanity. Paul says, put off the old man. And we need to put on the new man. The new community. We have to put on the church life. Not only we put on Christ, we have to put on the corporate Christ. Christ and the church. This is our living now. I can tell you, dear brothers and sisters, I thank the Lord I got saved. This became the purpose of my life, the meaning of my life. Yet at the same time, I can tell you, I can never live without the church life. I can never go to a place where there is no church. The church life is the meaning of my life. From my youth, I mentioned to you a little bit the other night, I was gained by the Lord by presenting to me the vision of his eternal purpose, Christ and the church. And from that point on, my life is set. My whole course of my living is set. I can never leave. I can never go anywhere without Christ and also without the church. Eventually, we moved to America. I was just about the time to enter into college. There are certain schools I liked. I really loved to go to certain schools. But the place where the school was, there's no church. And to me, as much as I love to go to that school, as long as there's no church, that settled that for me. No go. That's it, simple. I cannot. Christ and the church is the meaning of my life. I cannot live without Christ, neither can I live without the church, which is his body. This is the new man. This is the community, a new community that we put on in a practical sense. If we only have Christ as our personal Savior, yet if we do not have a practical church life to put on, living in this dark age is not easy for you to overcome all the snares in this age. Today, indeed, like Brother Lee shared, the church is the ark, right? This is Noah's ark that has saved us from this crooked generation, this condemned generation. Without a church, we will not be able to be spared, preserved. So today, we can still be where we are, loving the Lord, going on with him, because not only we have Christ, but we also have the church. Christ and the church, as the one new man, we need to put on. If we would be the one new man, we must put off the community life of the old man and put on the community life of the new man. You read Acts chapter 2, right? After the 3,000 got saved, got baptized, they began to stay together, right? All of those ones, we saw they actually came from regions away from Jerusalem. I don't know what and then they were scattered. They were scattered. And on that day of Pentecost, they were there in Jerusalem, and then they got saved there. And then they began to stay there, continue to have the church life. And from house to house, day by day, they broke bread. And from house to house, they were just, rejoicing, eating food, having love feasts, right? In our term today, just eating food together, praising the Lord, sharing the gospel, and they are gaining favor, even with the people. This is a new humanity that happened, that was raised up there in Jerusalem. In that old, thick, religious atmosphere, suddenly
a new race, a new humanity was raised up. These people, they were together all the time, eating, praising. They were singing, rejoicing, exaltation, preaching the gospel. That was their living. And the Lord added together those who were being saved day by day. Not just added to them, but he says added together with them. That means God added these new ones to their togetherness. They have been together. They love to come together, right? I mean, because we have jobs, we still have to carry, you have to go back to work, you know, we have, everyone has our, you know, the different things, our business and whatever, but if we don't have to be bound by that, well, we love to be together all the time. We're able to come together to just pray, enjoy the Lord, fellowship with one another. There is something about whenever we come together. This is a new humanity. Then the second point, in every country of the world and among every people, there is a characteristic manner of life. Many saints in the Lord's recovery still hold on to their former manner of life. Well, that manner of life is quite all-inclusive. It includes the way they, how we were brought up. I mentioned yesterday, we were born with our natural life, raised up in our culture, educated, you know, in all the philosophies, and then saved in religion. You know, so as we grow up in that kind of a way, we pick up certain characteristics, right? Certain manner of life that characterizes us. And especially if you live in different countries, you were born and raised in different countries, you pick up the characteristics of those countries. Brother Lee, many times, you know, he described, you know, these different peoples. You know, it's very true. Like with the Japanese, you know, they are very, apparently, very humble. You know, they always have a good bow to you. You know, they're humble. But, and they're also very clean. They're very clean. They have their characteristic. But, and they are, they copy everything. You know, they don't initiate things that well, that much, but they copied a lot of things, and they could do better at the end. So there are certain characteristics with the Japanese people, and there are characteristics with the Korean people, and characteristics with the Chinese people. And the Chinese people, well, many of us are here, you know, I think we can admit we are not as clean as the Japanese people. The Japanese are very clean. You stay in some Japanese home, they sweep the floor, they sweep all the corners, and they sweep, pick up every little detail. You go to a Chinese home, just, you know, Brother Lee used the word titi-ta-ta, you know, just everything more or less. Well, I swept it, it's okay, it's clean. Everything is more or less, it's okay. That's a Chinese kind of characteristic. And with the German, I don't have to describe anymore. So the Germans are very strict. Well, you have to realize, brothers and sisters, these are part of the so-called our manner of life, part of this old man that we have been so used to, you know, in the course of our growing up. And we have to learn, as the apostle charges, we have the more we see the new man, and we desire to learn Christ, we have to put off. Just like putting off a garment, put it off. You know, a jacket, you wear clothes. It's, usually we feel very comfortable. You have your jacket on, and it fits your body, and you feel very comfortable. And now, Paul said, you have to take off this. What is comfortable, so close to you, so convenient to you, put it off. Just like a jacket, take it off. And then you have to put on the new man, put on another jacket, a new man. And you'd have put it on well, not like this. You put on a jacket. That's not you. Sometimes I feel like some saints put on the new man like this. I put on a church life, you know. Yeah, it's on you, and not you're not so careful. It drops off. That's why you see saints come in and go out, you know. When they're happy, they stay in a little longer, and they're not happy, they go out because, you know, their church life is like this. Some are even not even have one sleeve on. You put on. We have to put on in a proper way, right? So that the church life is not easily dropped off. Put on. I love the word Paul used, very meaningful. And actually, if you read both Ephesians and Colossians, he used the word putting on a number of times. Put on love. Put on compassion. Put on tenderheartedness. With a put on. That means this putting on means that now you have to associate, attach, right? To put off means to discard, to detach, to dissociate. In every country of the world, there are these characteristics that we have been born with, raised up with, right? And we have been very comfortable with them. And, you know, for the Germans I described last night, they behave in that way. It's very logical to them. But to us, especially the Chinese, that is not reasonable, right? For you to take one more person to your home, that is more than reasonable. But to the strict Germans, well, the rule is the rule, right? And they have a certain principle they keep. That is how they were raised up. That is the environment of their culture. Well, all these, when you encounter things like this, if we are not willing to put off the old man, there will be problem in our living out the one new man. There will be conflict. There will be uneasiness. There will be even enmity, right? That, you know, there would be, you know, even to a very more, in a more severe situation, there may be hatred. So when Paul says, Christ abolished all the ordinances, the law of commandments in ordinances have been abolished. That means to Christ, whether the strict German, the German strictness, or the Chinese looseness, or the Japanese cleanness, it makes no difference. Of course, God will not tolerate all the idolatrous things, the sinful things, but as far as the habits of life, that is relative, right? Depending on how you were raised up. But if those things have not been put off from us, then our living of the new man will be difficult. Inevitably you may encounter stumbling, offenses, you know, in the church life because of these different habits of living. Some of you visited Israel, right? The Jews and Gentiles, the Jews especially, they are very strict. You know, the Orthodox Jews, they keep the law, and I have been at home. That in a Jewish home, they have two sets of dishwashers. One washer is to wash the utensils for the Jews. The other set is for the non-Jews. So they don't want to mix up your unclean dishes with their unclean dishes, you know. Their dishes are, even though it need to be clean, but they are the kosher ones. They're the sanctified ones. You are the Gentiles, right? Then whatever you have is unclean. So they have actually two sets of dishwasher. Don't want to mix up. They have strong ordinance directing
how they live their Jewish life. And so how, you know, maybe if you're invited to one of these Jewish homes, you know, it's all after your meal together and your dish is being put on one and then his dish is being put on another one. And you're, why? We just had a wonderful dinner together, you know, together. And then they had to make a separation. You may inwardly get a little bothered, offended, that, oh, I thought we just had a wonderful time, but yet somehow you seem to still hold on to the difference. We are Gentiles, you are Jews, you are more holier than me. All these things, brothers and sisters, the ordinances, the habits, the manner of life has caused division, has caused enmity, has caused middle wall, frustrating the people from coming together to become one. But now Christ on the cross removed all that, right? He basically zeroed everybody to the same level that we all, only Christ matters. None of those habits, none of those ordinances matter. Only Christ matters. He says, if we truly desire to be renewed, we need to put off the former manner of life, which involves ordinances and our way of living. Who does not have ordinance? You may not use the word, but you are full of ordinance. I was in Korea just a few weeks ago. I told them, you know, if I'm an American coming to your home, I don't take off my shoes. I just walk straight into your home. Oh, those Koreans said, oh, no. This is offensive to them. Right? You have to take off your shoes. Of course, we may not only Koreans, but many Asians do, right? But to Koreans, they, oh, this is unacceptable. You come in with your dirty shoes coming to my house, you know? So is the ordinance, is it good or bad? It's not a matter of sin. It's not a matter of is it good or not good. It's just your habit. You have a certain, that becomes an unspoken ordinance. That when someone violated that, you have some unhappiness. You generate some unhappiness. And then, you know, these things, they, it's like, you know, in the church life, if it is undealt with and taken care of, it becomes difficulties. It becomes enmities between the saints. In the new man, there is no possibility for any natural person of any nationality or culture to exist because the former manner of life found among these people have been put away. So if we want to live the life of the new man, we all have to put off that old man, put off our old habit of life, put off our old association. You know, before you got saved, you had, you know, you associated with a certain kind of people, whatever they were. Some were drinking buddies, some were, you know, dancing buddies, some were sports buddies, and you always like to, you know, hang around with them. And then on the weekend, you know, Sunday, you'll go to the church and do your service, and then the other time, right away, you get back around with your buddies. But Paul says, if we want to live the life of the new man, we have to put off that old association. In the new man, no possibility. There's no possibility for any of the natural person or nationality to exist. In order to have the church life, people from different cultures and countries have to put off the old man embodied in their former manner of life. In the church life, there is room only for Christ. Satan is the one who brings in differences. He brought in the differences in among mankind. Whether it's the differences in culture, in the religious preferences, circumcision, uncircumcision. Satan used these differences to bring in division, to bring in discord. All the various manners of life and the differences among the peoples are the heritage of Babel.
That's what Babel brought in. Differences. Various manners of life. But on the cross, Christ slew all these differences in order to produce one new man. So Babel brought in diversity. Brought in many differences. But here in the new man, we are being gathered. We are being made one. We should not justify our manner of life or to glory in it. Every way of life involves ordinances and must be put off. So we came from different countries, background, cultures. We should never try to exalt our culture, our national characteristics over others, to bring in that difference, to emphasize, to accentuate that difference. Rather, in the one new man, we only stress, emphasize Christ. He is the unique person in all of us. Christ must be all, and he must be in all. This is the reality of the new man. Don't justify your manner of life. You have heard this illustration, this story, many times. You know, Brother Lee was having a conference at the end of the meeting. He was in hospitality in the saint's home. The sister serve some refreshment to the brothers, and she was serving cheese and crackers. She came to Brother Lee, and then she just commented, "Oh, Brother Lee, I understand that Chinese don't like cheese." And, Brother Lee just turned and looked at her. "Sister, I'm not Chinese." In other words, he is not there trying to accentuate, to impress. "I'm Chinese. I need to preserve my likes. You know, I don't like Chinese. I don't like cheese and you have to serve me dumplings or something, you know." But here, he just followed. He took some cheese, took some crackers. That's not going to kill you, right? I mean, I know, I don't know of it. There's some Chinese, really, they have to eat some Chinese food. I know we have the Chinese stomach. You know, it really tastes, much, much better, you know. However, you know, for that few occasions, when you're with other saints, to take some other food, that's not going to kill you. But that you exercise, even in that moment, put off your old man. Put off your old habit of life. You know, you are not Chinese. Indeed, Brother Lee was correct. He was not Chinese. He was a God-man. Every one of us. You are not a Canadian. You are not a Korean. You are not American. You are a God-man. And constantly, we have to be reminded, put off that old man. Put off the old association of life. My old manner of life. And then learn to put on the new man, to consider all the saints who are around you from different backgrounds. They're there together. Okay, I better move on. Number 3 says, the former manner of life includes everything related to us, what we are, what we have, our family life, our social life. We must put off what we are, what we have, and what we do. We must put off our very way of living. This means that what we are, what we have, and what we do make the church life an impossibility. In other words, I would say especially with churches that has multiple languages, multiple nationality, races, well, we have to admit it's not easy. It's not easy. Although when Brother Lee opened this door back in 1983 because of the immigration situation, so many came coming allowed now
quota has been given, big quota been given to people from China, from Taiwan. And a co-worker came to Fellowship with Brotherly in a very serious way. You have to consider opening up the language meeting. Allow these Chinese saints to meet in their language. Brotherly was very, very reluctant to do that because he realized the consequence. But after a lot of prayer and consideration, eventually he agreed, we need to do this. He began to open up the language meeting. That was in 1983. But at the beginning, he stressed repeatedly, saints, this is not a Chinese meeting. This is a Chinese-speaking meeting. This is not a meeting because you are Chinese people. This is a meeting for those who cannot handle the English language. This is a Chinese-speaking meeting to meet the need of the languages. Because in the new man, doesn't matter, there's no races, no nationalities. But indeed, we have some difficulties in our language, so there is an allowance given to take care of that need. But just because now you are meeting in the Chinese-speaking meeting, now you want to, you are highlighting, we are Chinese, we're always hanging around with the Chinese speaking people, and then we do things in our Chinese way. Be very careful. You are in a church together with saints of different languages, different background. We should not accentuate our difference. I came from a church. We have four languages in my church. Well, that was years ago. We had, I'll expose a little bit. You know, we had Korean saints, Korean-speaking saints. They love to have love feasts. They even cook there in the meeting hall at the end of Lord's Day. And then, it's just the Korean saints eating there. And then we have all the other three languages. Of course, some of the Chinese, they also like to take advantage of the Korean food, and then they would go in there, and then they would share some of their Korean food. And then, at the end of this, after a while, the flavor was not so good. It was just like only a certain group was doing something special in a church of such a big language. And then the Chinese were also doing something. They have a Chinese corner and then a Korean corner. Chinese eating their Chinese food, the Koreans eating their Korean food. And then after many months of prayer and fellowship among the brothers, eventually we just decided, no more. Let's just stop for the sake of the body. Let's just stop. If we want to take care of the new ones, and let's just take them to our home. You know, as we did in the early days in Eldon Hall. You know, we just brought the new ones to the homes every Lord's Day, to the homes, to shepherd the young ones. But little things like this cause difference to be brought in and to stumble others, right, who are not Chinese nor Korean. They felt being left out. And little things like this. It's not a big thing. But yet even this little thing can cause difference, the difference to bring in a kind of stumbling to the members. So, indeed, this is a true word. If we continue to live according to the old man, the church life will be seriously damaged, even terminated. Those who are released from the old man are very flexible. Paul could be all things to all men because he had put aside his old man. Paul said what? To the Jew, I became a Jew. To the Greek, I became a Greek. I became all things to all men. I don't want to hold on to my Jewish background, my holy, the status. When he meet a Gentile, he could just converse like a Gentile, a Greek, so that he can gain the others. So with Paul, he was flexible. He put off the old man. He was not affected, restricted by his old background. He let the old man go so that he can live in the genuine one new man church life. If we put off the old man with his former manner of life, we shall have a marvelous church life, a church life that will be a miniature of the new Jerusalem in the new heaven and the new earth. In such a church life, it is impossible to have division. In the new Jerusalem, there will be 12 gates. Do you think there will be one gate for the Chinese, another gate for the Spanish, another gate for the Koreans, another gate for the French? No. 12 gates from for to open to all four directions. To come in through the triune God. Doesn't matter what language, what race, what color. I appreciate in Revelation, in chapter 5, talks about what? All those who have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Those who have been redeemed from all race, or what? All people, all tongues, and nations, and tribes, and people, and nations, are gathered together. The ones who will end up in the New Jerusalem came from all tribes, and people, and nations, and tongues. So they will become the kingdom of God. There's no French kingdom, no German kingdom, no Chinese kingdom. There is just the kingdom of God. We're all God-men. So today, as we are learning Christ, we must put off the old man, giving no ground for the flesh, for the natural man to come in, so that we can have even a foretaste of the New Jerusalem today, have a marvelous church life, the church life as a miniature of the New Jerusalem. Number four says, whenever we return to the old manner of life, we shall spontaneously sense that we are darkened within and estranged from God's life. Whenever we live according to our old community life, there is vanity, darkness, estrangement, ignorance, and hardness within us. If we persist in living according to the former manner of life, we shall eventually become calloused and insensitive. We may even cease from feeling because we do not care for our conscience. So it's quite serious when we just keep on living the way that we are comfortable with, and we sometimes even suppress the feeling of our conscience as we live among saints from different background. We may become past feeling, to become callous and insensitive. And number five, when we were regenerated, this new man was put into and born into our spirit. When we believe in the Lord Jesus, the life-giving spirit came into our spirit, bringing with him the new man as a finished product. The addition of the spirit and the divine life to our spirit produce a new being, the new man. Saints, we need to see this. There's a new being brought forth at the time of our regeneration, when the Spirit came into us. He is the person of the triune God. He brought the divine life and the divine person into our spirit, producing a new being. The new man is in our spirit, and the Spirit witnesses with our spirit. The way to put on the new man is for our spirit, which is mingled with the Spirit, in which we are found God, God's dwelling place, and the new man to become the spirit of our mind. So, dear saints, the key here in our putting on the new man is in verse 23, that being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 22 says we have to put off the old man. Verse 24 says we need to put on the new man. And in between that, in verse 23, Paul says we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. The Spirit who is now mingled with our spirit is the very dwelling place of God. One time in the life study of Ephesians, Brother Lee says our spirit, the spirit mentioned here in Ephesians 4,
as the mingled spirit, is universally spacious. Our spirit is where the dwelling place of God is. And it's in our spirit we have all the saints from all times and space are all included in my spirit. This is the dwelling place of God, built up with members from all backgrounds and races and colors and tongues, and they are now all in my spirit. Brother Lee is in my spirit. Brother Nee is in my spirit. John Nelson Darby in my spirit. A.B. Simpson in my spirit. All the saints in the past are all included in our universally spacious mingled spirit.
Amen.
We have to let this spirit become the spirit of our mind. It is by being renewed in this spirit, we practically put on the new man. Number six, to be renewed in the spirit of our mind is the way to put on the new man. For the spirit to become the spirit of our mind means that the spirit directs, controls, dominates, and possesses our mind. When the spirit directs our mind, it governs our whole being. So our mind is the leading part of our soul. How our mind thinks will direct the rest of our being. And the spirit has to invade our mind to subdue our mind and renew our mind so that the spirit may become the spirit of the mind. This is how we actually practically put on the new man. The new man must spread into and saturate every part of our being. The spreading of the new man is both the putting on of the new man and the renewing. Okay, number seven. The new man is the practical church life, which is Christ as the life-giving spirit mingled with our spirit in a corporate way. To put on the church life as the new man is to put on this entity produced by the mingling of the divine spirit with the human spirit. Our daily living should be part of the church life, part of the new man. Otherwise, we will grieve the spirit. The grieving of the spirit is at the end of chapter 4, where before that, Paul has been talking about, you know, the learning of Christ, and then putting off the old man, putting on the new man, being renewed in the spirit of the mind. If we do not practically put on the new man, to put on the church life, we actually grieve the Holy Spirit. Not caring for the church life is one of the main ways we grieve the Spirit. The Spirit is already in us. He is mingled with our spirit. And it is the very dwelling place of God, which includes all the saints from all the ages, are all included in our spirit. And if we do not care for the church life, then we actually grieve the spirit within us. By not attending the church meetings and by refusing to function in the meetings, we may grieve and quench the spirit. We know in Hebrews chapter 10, Paul actually admonished the Hebrew believers. They were at the verge, at the brink of returning back to Judaism. They were Hebrews, but they got saved. But they were still longing for all the Old Testament things. So they began to forsake the assembling, the assembly, the church life. So Paul admonished them in Hebrews 10, do not forsake the assembly together of yourselves. Don't forsake your meeting. That in the church life, we do meet, we come together. We meet a lot, whether in a big way, small way. Don't belittle these meetings. Don't forsake the meetings. We all have to treasure the meetings of the church because we are here putting on a new communal life. We put on the church life in a practical way. If we forsake the meeting, we may grieve the Spirit. We put on the church life as the new man by being filled in the Spirit to overflow with speaking, singing, praising, and submitting. We put on the church life as the new man by the washing of the water in the Word. right? Actually, both of these points need a separate message to address these matters. But here in Ephesians, we are told we have to be renewed in the spirit of the mind to put on this new man. If we don't put on this new man, which is the practical church life, we may grieve the Spirit. But if we allow the Spirit to invade us, invade our mind, renew our mind, to take the let the Spirit to take control, take direction of our mind, we will have an excellent, sweet church life, right? We like to come to the meetings not dutifully, not just religiously, because there's a longing within our spirit, longing to come together with the saints, to enjoy Christ with all the saints. Well, I know many of you had to drive actually a long distance to come here. Well, isn't it worthwhile this weekend, Amen. Just these 2 days coming together? Amen. Oh, I tell you, our coming together is the greatest joy on earth, Amen. Right? The gathering of the saints. Here, we are enjoying Christ. We are just exalting Christ. Here, we are actually, without your realizing, you are putting on the new man. Amen. You are making the Spirit happy. Instead of grieving the Spirit, we make the Spirit happy. Amen. When we have the proper church life. You pay a little price of taking some time off to drive a long distance, pay for a little gasoline of the flight or the airfare, so that we can come together with the saints to have the new man church life. Amen. This new species need to come together, right? This is just a characteristic of the new man. Okay, shall we all read the last point together, please? Romans 8. Amen. So all these things are tied together, right? The more we grow in Christ, we grow up into Him in all things, the more that we actually put on this new man. The more you grow up into Him in all things, this Christ into whom you grow, He is the head of the body. He will always lead you to the body. You will never grow up into Christ and becoming more individualistic. You just want to be alone. No, the Christ into whom you grow, He is the head of the body. He always leads us to the body. For us to come together with the saints in a big way, small way, in many ways, to have fellowship, to have blending, to enjoy the Lord together. And as we come together, we are putting on that new man, right? And this church life, having Christ as the center, having Christ as the person, is a one new man church life. The more we practice in this way, the more there is the possibility for the new man to be brought forth. Dear saints, I say by the Lord's mercy, even since our brother Lee had passed away for 21 years, we are still together. The seven feasts in the Lord's recovery have been a big preserving factor. I think you all agree, if today there has not been the seven feasts coming together, I don't know where the recovery will be. But in these seven feasts, it doesn't mean that everyone has to attend to all of them, but whenever you can, whenever you are able to, you get together, participate in the semi-annual trainings and the Thanksgiving conference, Memorial Day, whatever. These coming together, saints from everywhere, this coming together energizes your being. Amen. I think some of you went to Taiwan, you were there in the midst of that 30,000 people. You don't have to do anything. Just being there, you got energized. It's just something within you, just wow, this is the body of Christ. You know, 13 years ago, when we first met these brothers from Ethiopia, sovereignly. Anyway, I don't want to get into the detail. And they read Watchman Nee's books. They got a hold of one. And then they were so convicted. This is this is the way the Lord wants them to take. Follow the teaching of Brother Watchman Nee to take the way of the church. So in year 2000, even before we met them, 5 years before, they took the ground as the church in Addis Ababa. And they were only about, they were in a meeting in a free group in the university. They were all university students. There were about 200 of them. But they realized they have to leave. They have to come out of that denomination and take the ground as the church in Addis Ababa. So that day, they had about 50, 60 of them came out, and they declared they are the church in Addis Ababa. And they thought they are the only church on the whole earth that followed that way. And since that time, they were looking all over the internet. Is there anyone like us? They thought they were the only church. And then, anyway, the Lord brought us together. And then that was in December. That was in December when we actually met them. And then the following year, February, we had the big gathering in Taiwan. That was a big gathering. And then a couple of the brothers happened to have they were going to China to do some business-related things. And that's what we invited them. How about you can go stop by Taiwan on the way to China? And so they said, okay, we could do it. And they came to this meeting. Over 25,000 saints were there. And they said, wow, I thought we were the only church on the whole earth. And here there were thousands of churches gathered together, right, to displaying our enjoyment of Christ, our oneness in Christ. This is truly the one new man, not just because of the many colors and races, but because we all enjoy the same one Christ. This is what the Lord is doing today, and the Lord desires, he's still keeping us in his recovery, I believe, is for this reason. Not to produce another spiritual giant, spiritual leader like Brother Nee, Brother Lee, but we must be those who would live out this one new man, who will become the prepared bride to bring our bridegroom back. This is the only reason why we are still here, right? Many groups, as I said, after the leader passed on, the teachings began to fade. Some books, even, you had a spiritual place in Britain years ago. All the spiritual books were auctioned after the leader passed away. Group after group like this. But with us, our brothers have gone to be with the Lord, but his recovery keep going forward by our coming together, right? And I said, indeed, if Brother Watchman Nee were to sit here, he would be very comforted and encouraged. We have not diluted his speaking, his revelation. Instead, we have even advanced it. I don't think Brother Nee has spoken much concerning the new man, as far as I know. I searched a little bit. But surely, this is on the same line of revelation of the ministry. And if Brother Nee were able to hear, we are speaking about the new man, we are speaking about the body of Christ, the one new man, the new Jerusalem, he would be so excited. Dear saints, we are on this same path, right, as all the saints who have gone before. This is not time for another giant, so to speak. Here, as the body of Christ, we are practicing the living out of this one new man. This is it. This will bring the Lord back. This will be the preparation of the bride to bring our bridegroom back. May the Lord have mercy on us here in Canada, in U.S. We are the same. There should not be any borders, right? We are the same. We are just one new man. We are that new race, new breed, new species. So let us take him as our person. Amen. Let him be our all and be in all. Amen.